This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
BetOnline is your number one source for all your summer sports this season, from MLB, golf, NBA, and NHL playoff stats. All the latest stats, news, and scores available to follow your favorite teams. Get the latest odds and lines, including the latest team matchups, player props, odds, and just about everything sport out there. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to get in on the action. BetOnline, where the game starts. So you got time part, you got part of the timeline, June 1st and the start of the season. So before I carry on with the rest of this, let me go to this little article right here. And I'm going to play. This is what Mickey Loomis said when he was on Adam Schein's show. Y'all put one in the chat if y'all can hear this.
What does this mean here when it comes to Marshawn Lattimore, if anything?
Yeah, it doesn't mean anything. Marshawn's been a really good player for us for a good period of time. He's one of the leaders of our team. And look, like it's just like I said, you know, we can use as many corners as we can get. And we've got a good group, a really good group, and they're going to help each other and they're going to help our team win.
So elaborate on that if you can for us, Mickey, because there was so much conversation. And you're right, Marshawn's one of your guys, part of a fabled and famous draft class, right? I mean, you know, there was so much conversation about trading him, and there still is conversation about it. Is he on the market? Is he going to be a Saint this year? I know what you think of him. I know what you think of the cornerback position. I know what Dennis Allen thinks of the cornerback position. Separate fact from fiction for us on Marshawn Lattimore.
Yeah, I would say this about any player is that look, when a guy's a really good player for your team, they're not on the market per se, but there are times when you get a call and somebody makes a proposal and it might make sense for you. That's true for any player on our team. You know, if you get an offer you can't refuse, you at least have to look at it. And so that's what I would say. I'm not actively trying to trade Marshawn. Marshawn's, you know, such a good player. He's an elite corner. He's had some injuries the last couple of seasons that have kept him, you know, off the field. And, you know, we've got to get over that. It's not his fault. It's just circumstances. And so, you know, that's just where we're at.
Now, the reason why I'm spinning that is because I want people to be aware of what Mickey Loomis says. And there was a dozen articles wrote about Mickey Loomis saying they're not actively trying to trade. They're not actively looking to trade Marshawn Lattimore. What does that mean? So sometimes when you're listening to these guys, you got to kind of read in between the lines. You got to, you know, they'll say stuff. And then I've listened to these guys for years. 4 years I've been listening to Mickey Loomis, and I've learned to listen a little bit, because some people, when you're listening, they kind of tune them out. But the term actively, we're not actively trying to trade Marshawn Lattimore. What does active means? Active means that they're not soliciting to teams to trade Lattimore. But if you call me, I'll listen to your offer. That is what's going on here. You see that? You caught that? Actively means that he's not going out calling Carolina, calling Buffalo, calling the Chargers, calling the Texans, and saying, hey, man, y'all want Lattimore? That's what active means. Inactive means the opposite. That is, they're calling him. But the word is out that Lattimore is on the trade block. Now, the reason why in my mind I'm saying, man, they're going to trade him is because what I just covered, and I told you about it. The contract is set up. The option is set up where the other team that's getting Lattimore, they'll pay a salary. They pay his money. And the Saints get $11 million. Now, they don't get that big chunk until next year, but they get about $4 million this year and a big chunk, double digits, next year. Let me finish this up. Let me go back to this article now. Right. Let's go back to this article. Right. Now, I just told you the timeline. I gave you a timeline between June the 1st and the start of the season when option kicks in. That's the time frame between if the Saints are going to trade Marshawn Lattimore. The reason why I think it's going to happen is because I just feel like they're listening to people contacting them. And sooner or later, somebody's going to give them an offer that they want. Now, it's not going to be a first round draft pick. And more than likely, it's probably going to be a second. Hopefully, it don't be anything less than a second round pick. But I'm thinking that, and I really don't want Lattimore to be traded, because the reason why they're trading him is because he fell out with Dennis Allen. He lost faith in the coach. So we trade a top five cornerback in the NFL because of a bum ass coach like Dennis Allen. That's off code. Makes no sense to me. You check the coach. Apologize to the player and say, man, listen, we're going to do this right. We need your help. We need you to win. Check the dumb coach. But that takes an on-coach general manager to check the coach and make sure, listen, I got this. I'm the general manager. I'm telling Marshawn Lattimore, listen, bro, listen. Then I'm going to send Dennis Allen in here. He'll apologize to you and these other players here. And I promise you, as the general manager of the Saints, that I will be looking over his shoulder, and I promise you there'll be no off-code behavior in here. We'll concentrate on winning, and we'll do everything that we can to win this year, to be competitive from here on out. You have my word. My door is open for you. If you have any problems and you can't hash them out with the coach, come and see me. I'll make sure we get it right. That's not what kind of general manager you got, fam. I've been telling y'all that. That guy goes and closes his door and talks about him being too emotional to do in-season evaluations. And you need in-season evaluations more than you need them off-season. You playing football during that period of time. These evaluations count for something. And if the general manager is not evaluating during the season, you're losing out on a lot of information, because he's supposed to have his hand on the back of Dennis Allen, making sure that he feels the pressure of the boss, the guy ahead of him, to win and not feel comfortable. then wants to talk about comfortable after the season was, he never used comfortable before. We were saying that. That's how you know they're listening. They never mentioned comfortable before. We were saying that here. We were saying that over and over. This dude is too comfortable, too comfortable. I was saying it week after week, and all of a sudden it gets into his vocal lexicon. Really? Well, we were just too young. They're just too comfortable. No. They're not too comfortable. You are too comfortable. Too comfortable not doing your job. Anyway, post June 1st trade, Lattimore was split the dead money charged to only $10.6 million in 2024. The remaining $20 million and defer it to the 2025. That's less than New Orleans' current cap obligations to Lattimore in both years. Let me say that again. What it means, if another team trades for Lattimore, they will pay him the money instead. The option is due shortly before the start of the season, giving the Saints a window to explore trade offers. Trading Lattimore now would be impractical because of how the dead money would put the Saints over the cap. The math changes after June 1st. A post-June 1st trade of Lattimore would split the dead money charge to only $10.6 million this year, with the remaining $20 million in change deferred to 2025. That is less than the New Orleans cap obligations to Lattimore in both those years. Trading Lattimore sometimes between June the 1st and the start of the season will create under $4 million in cap space this season and $10.7 million in 2025. So you get $4 million back this year on your current cap situation. And the Saints are, I think, at $8 million something right now. So if they did that, that'll boost it up to, what, $12 million? And then next year, they get almost $11 million back for 2025 on their cap. You see how it's all the money's falling? And remember, they did the contract late last year with the option to make it easier to trade him. And now you have a timeline with an easily tradable contract with a timeline that's June 1st to the start of the year. So watch out. I gave you the timeline. The Saints may keep Lattimore if the offers are underwhelming, even if they're paying the option bonus will make it harder to cut ties in 2025. You get that? But there have some cracks in the relationship between the two sides over the last 2 years, with injuries happening, Lattimore's availability, and the Saints underperforming expectations under head coach Dennis Allen. That's the problem. They talk about the injuries. Notice Mickey Loomis didn't say nothing about Dennis Allen. See, this is a problem. That's why I have a problem with these people. They protect each other. They stay on code the opposite way. See, they got a dumbass code. They stay on code. He doesn't check Dennis Allen. He's patting Dennis Allen on his back like 9 wins with something positive. It wasn't positive. You got a loaded team. You supposed to be in the playoffs each year. This guy's been the head coach of this team. This team is underperformed every year that he's been the head coach. And it wasn't strictly because of talent. Crazy, man. When healthy, Lattimore remains one of the best cornerbacks in football. And there's enough contending teams with a need at cornerback. There should be a healthy market. Says, I think another team would need to put a day two pick on the table for the Saints to consider a trade. But landing Kool-Aid McKinstry in the second round might make New Orleans more willing to make a move. So look at the landscape of trading Lattimore, right? I've laid out everything. You've had multiple reasons why the Saints more than likely will trade Lattimore between June 1st and the start of the regular season. Let me lay it out again. Everything lines up. The contract has been restructured where he'd be traded, where he's made tradable. When he gets traded to whatever team, they assume his money. The Saints get $4 million back once the trade happens this year, which boosts that $8 million, whatever it is right now. If you get them, if the trade happens, they're at $8 million. $4 million on that, 10, 12. They get $12 million. So they have $12 million with him gone, and then they get almost $11 million on the cap for the 2025 year. Did you catch that? So you have the reason, the easily tradable contract, and you got the cap relief that you get in trading Lattimore, plus the third one. I'm going to give you a third one that they already put a replacement for Lattimore with the draft pick in the second round of Kool-Aid McKinstry. That's why I say Lattimore is going to be traded. Now, if they keep him, it'll make it harder to get rid of him for 2025. So all this was set up for a potential trade, and Mickey Loomis is saying he's not actively looking to trade Lattimore, but he's inactively trying to trade Lattimore. Did you catch that? inactive versus active. Active means that we're not soliciting, and inactive means that we're allowing ourselves to be solicited too. There you go. Three reasons I just gave you, plus a timeline. All makes sense, don't it, fam? It all makes sense. It all makes sense, man. And listen, all makes sense in terms of that. But the thing that got this all going right now is a is this off-code behavior by Dennis Allen failing the team over the last.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Couple of years to get him to win because he refuses to change. You're not going to get anywhere with a guy that don't know how to change or adjust. The game is all about changing and adjustment. When guys are not doing their job, you're supposed to change them up. The offensive line, false start, pre-snap penalties off the chain. Elvin Kamara was saying people was false starting in practice and nobody was saying nothing, including the head coach. What kind of coach is this? Who is this guy? See, they don't see Mickey Loomis in that little interview. He forgot to mention any of that, huh? He talked about injuries. He talked about all this other nonsense, but nothing about Dennis Allen, huh? You know why? Because he picked Dennis Allen because of Sean Payton. And that's why they protect. It's a back ass code. It don't work. It ain't going to work with me. I'm telling you, I'll bust that shit to hell, man. You're not going to walk in here with this nonsense about Dennis Allen and all this bullshit that Dennis Allen doing. You're going to trade Lattimore and adjust his contract at the end of late last year when the season was still. I'm saying that because it happened late last year during the season. When you got time to reshape his contract and talk about trading him and Dennis Allen failing, he don't make no changes, not switching up nothing. These people, man, I tell you, this shit ain't hard, man. It ain't hard. It requires an active thinker. It requires somebody that has a realistic view on what they're looking at. It don't take anybody that's sitting up here, overvaluing people. Dennis Allen is a defensive coordinator masquerading as a head coach. He doesn't have the motivational ability. He doesn't have the motivation, the communication skills. He comes off as quirky and weird. And when it's just, he's not a leader. He's not somebody you're going to look to and trust and believe and say, hey, man, I'll follow that guy. No, he's seen half the team looks at him as a backstabber. And that's why Marshawn Lattimore have a problem with him, because he was off code. But get rid of the dude that's a top five cornerback for a guy that's probably going to end up getting fired anyway, right? Good job, Mickey Loomis. And he can do that because ain't nobody watching over his damn shoulder to make sure his ass get in trouble if he making these dumbass calls with Dennis Allen. The people that's putting a foot to the fire is not Gail Benson or Dennis Lucia. We doing their jobs. We're up here saying, listen, Dennis Allen, we're going to pull our money back from you. We're going to pull Gail, Dennis Lucia, and anybody that's out there listening for the Saints at the top organization, because I know y'all listening. Y'all always do. We got plenty of people that listen to the sports coma in the Saints building. Y'all know what the fuck I'm talking about. At the end of the day, we're gonna pull our money back and our economics from buying your gear, your shirts, and all that until you start winning. We're not going to support a bad product. We're not going to do it. We're not giving our hard-earned money away to you unless you prove that you can do what you're supposed to do and turn this around. We've been supporting you through all of this BS for the 20 years when we was wearing the damn bags, we was putting money in your pocket. And to people say, you know what the hell with this? Gas prices is high, every damn thing high. Why I'm going down here to watch these people lose every day, man? I'm tired of this shit. And people pulled their money back. Guess what happened? They got serious and started changing the team around. We are in a cycle. We're back to that period where we had 20 something odd years of success, and now we're in a downturn because the people at the top got fat and happy and rich, amazingly rich, and they don't see nothing but the money. So let's stop them from seeing the money. That's what I'm saying. And I've been talking about this for some time now. Don't go down there. Don't give them your money. If you want to see a change, they don't like me saying this, of course, because they want you to keep giving it to them because you'll be supporting a bad product. but don't give them none of your money until they prove to you they're serious about winning, until they actually start winning some games. Because there's no way in God's green earth that Dennis Allen should be the head coach of anybody's professional team. He got up there because of the good old boys circle, starting with Sean Payton, who told Mickey Loomis to hire that man. And that man was not qualified to be a head coach. He failed miserably with the Raiders, and there was no reason for him to take the job this time around when they interviewed very quality people, candidates for the job. And most of the candidates that got picked up by other teams kicking Dennis Allen asses when he play them. It's just sad, man. Really sad. This is troop talk. This is troop talk here. This is troop time. All right. So anyway, that's what I got for y'all on that, man. Let me keep it moving. Let's cover this right here. As the Saints wave QB Kelly Mond in as the rookie camp approaches. Shout out to our Niles Carpenter at the WhoDatDaily.com. He's the guy that writes for our Saint content. The Saints decided to release Kelly Mond, the QB, as revealed in the NFL's latest daily action transaction report. The decision comes shortly after Saints drafted Spencer Rattler, effectively making Mond's position precarious. The team now looks to reorganize its roster around Derek Carr with Rattler, Jake Haener, and Nathan Peterman as the backups. So, you know, that's the tweet right there. And additionally, the Saints have waived offensive lineman Tommy Kramer as well. We had appearances in both the Saints and Detroit lineups over the past 2 years. So Kelly Mond and Tommy Kramer, the offensive lineman, are in the street. Hence the big ass scissors right there. You know, they are no longer members of the team. And that's what he's kind of looked at when you've seen Spencer Rattler get picked up. The Saints had four quarterbacks. Somebody wasn't going to make it unless they keep him there as a camp arm. But maybe the Saints looking at it, lining up, they're going to bring at least two more guys, you know, into this rookie minicamp. Perhaps it's a veteran. We'll see whoever it is. But they're definitely looking at changing some things up. So a couple of news to kind of talk about as far as that is concerned. All right, so let's move on to the next article right here. And this one right here is from CBS. This is an article right here, the NFL QB power rankings. Brock Purdy, Jordan Love, crack top 10 and first post-draft pecking order. And just assessing every team starting QB ahead of camp. This is just CBS's take on it about the QB power rankings prior to the start of the season. And this is what they came up with. Now, nothing moves the needle in the NFL quite like quarterbacks. Why? They're the most important ingredient to a championship recipe. It is impossible to win a championship without an elite signal caller. No, but history tells us that it's much easier otherwise. So we're keeping tabs on all 32 starters throughout the 2024 season. Which one of the best of the best? He says, which ones are the best of the best as we stand here today approaching the new year? And which ones could be in for trouble? All quarterbacks are partly a product of their situations, but this is how we'd sort today's signal callers right now. These power rankings are obviously subject to drastic change once games actually get underway, as they're built to be based on more of a current standing than the bigger picture in an effort to tell the story of each quarterback's respective rise and fall. Now, without further ado, here's our first pecking order of the 2024 season. This is CBS Sports. 2024 NFL power rankings. But of course, Pat Mahomes is at the top of the list. Brock Purdy, of course, Josh Allen, Joe Burrow, CJ Stroud from the Houston Texans. That's big. Ranked top five there. Lamar Jackson, guy we could have drafted. Jalen Hurts, another guy we could have drafted. I was saying that the whole time, but both those guys tell your ass up, though. They tell the Saints up. Dak Prescott's up there. Justin Herbert's at 9. Jordan Love, who beat the Saints, came back, scored 11 points on the Saints to beat them. Remember that? That victory turns out to be a very tough victory because Green Bay, if the Saints had beat Green Bay and had held the lead, Saints might be in the playoffs, right? Jordan Love, after losing Aaron Rodgers, man, look at the Green Bay Packers. They're looking solid. Then there's old man Aaron's up there at 11. Tagovailoa is at 12. Jared Goff from the Detroit Lions, he had a good resurgence with them. Kirk Cousins is at 14 with Atlanta. Trevor Lawrence is 15. Matt Stafford is 16. Deshaun Watson is 17. Geno Smith is 18. Y'all thinking to yourself, where the hell is Derek Carr at? Well, let's keep going. Russell Wilson is 19. That's right, Russell Wilson is 19. Baker Mayfield is ranked at 20. Kyler Murray is 21. Will Levis, the Tennessee Titans, young quarterback, is ranked 22nd. Caleb Williams hadn't played a game yet, and he's ranked 23rd. Oh, wow. Anthony Richardson missed pretty much all of last year. He's 24th. J.J. McCarthy hadn't played a damn game yet, but he's ranked at 25. And then bam, beam, boom, there he is. Derek Carr listed as 26th by the CBS Power Rankings. And we know This is just their interpretation of it. But it's very interesting, to say the least, that they drafted, they would place Derek Carr as the 26th ranked quarterback under several guys that hadn't even threw an NFL ball yet. That's very interesting. And what they say about him placed at 26 is entering year 11, Carr has proven he knows his way around a short area offense. He also took a beating in his Saints debut. It's tough to forecast anything other than another wild card flirtation. And then the other quarterbacks that they believe are ranked better than Derek Carr: Jacoby Brissett, Jaden Daniels, Gardner Minshew, Bo Nix, Bryce Young, and Daniel Jones. So he's better than those guys, just not better than the rest of the guys. So do the Saints have a flirtation with a wild card? They thinking that the Saints are not going to win the NFC South. So they said that you'll fight for a wild card spot. We took a look, like I said, y'all seen the schedules before. I was looking at the schedule and the teams that we play, and I'm not saying, they got some teams that I think we can beat, like the Giants and perhaps Washington, but there are some teams, and I was trying to count down seriously 10 wins, and even if I say we split, I don't think we sweep Atlanta this year. I think we might split with Atlanta. Tampa Bay, we split with Tampa, and any team you might sweep might be Carolina, but then again, it might not be Carolina. I don't know. But any team you do have the potential to sweep might be Carolina. So you might get 4 wins there, but then you got to pick up 6 wins against other teams. Like, we play in Dallas. We play in some pretty high power teams this year. We got Green Bay that we play, and I don't know where we're going to play them at. Hopefully we play them in the season early. They don't have us going up there late. But it's very interesting. I was trying to get to 10 wins. I think if you can get 10 wins, you'll be fine. But it's going to be very interesting, because I want to see what Kubiak can do. It's going to be very interesting. But anyway, this is what they got going on in their rankings. Very interesting look. They believe that Derek Carr is ranked 26. And this is prior to training camp. Now, this could very well change. He can go up a little further. But it's just interesting to look at Derek Carr. Elvin Kamara, Chris Olave, Rashid Shaheed, Taysom Hill, Jamal Williams, Kendre Miller, all these weapons, Juwan Johnson, and then say 26th rank. Gonna be interesting, man. That's what I'm saying. It's gonna be very interesting moving forward, but it is what it is. All right, so let's keep it moving. This is the unofficial depth chart. Once again, another good look at the Saints unofficial depth chart. I'll do a show where we kind of go over all of this, but I kind of, from time to time, every show, I span at the undrafted list just to see what the squads potentially could be. When I look at the unofficial depth chart, I leave Ramczyk out, because I really do believe that Ramczyk doesn't play this year. I don't think Ram plays at all this year. I think Ram more than likely will sit out. That's what I'm looking for. I'm not counting on Ryan Ramczyk at all. No disrespect, but you need major surgery, and minor surgery is not going to help you. That will only serve to damage you. So I'm just going to count him out and deal with what we do have, which is Fuaga and Penning. That's who I think the tackles are going to be. Now, Landon Young could be an X factor there. Landon Young, depending on how he can step up and play there, could he kind of change things around and see what's going on? As far as that goes. But that's the big question mark, is about how the Saints offensive line look with 3 new people there, including Penning, with one of the tackles, with Fuaga and Ali Udoh. So the offensive line is really a big point of emphasis to me. I think the defense is way more talented than the offense is currently. I think the defense has improved radically. The Chase Young, if he's healthy, him and Carl Granderson make a dangerous pairing, where you're not going to be able to be a scrambling quarterback and beat the Saints like they did in the past. I think Willie Gay helps the Saints defense. If he beats out Pete Werner for the spot next to DeMario Davis, he also adds to that. The scrambling quarterback's not going to be able to do anything with us. The drafting and the pickup of the defensive tackle, Christian Boyd, to replace Malcolm Roach is an upgrade, in my opinion. No disrespect to Malcolm Roach, but Christian Boyd will be an excellent interior defensive lineman for the Saints, gives them a push, and is a hell of a run-stuffing defensive tackle as well. And I think that'll help the Saints keep the linebackers clean. That's a big part of the Saints doing is Brian Bercy. Hopefully he can make the next step to kind of move Saunders out of the way. And I mean, not Saunders, Shepherd. So it'd be Saunders and Bercy there. And Shepherd kind of gets part of the rotation. And then Christian Boyd's in the mix as well, passing Yo, depending on where he is. But I really do think that once Chase Young is healthy and you got Carl Granderson there, that's going to be a dangerous combination. During Cam as a situational guy, it's going to be good in that regard. So the defense with those guys I just mentioned is super talented, you know. Then of course they added, and of course once the Marshawn Lattimore trade happens, that'll weaken us a bit. Then you'll see Paulson Adebo go up to the top position. Alante Taylor will more than likely play the opposite corner, and then you'll have Kool-Aid McKinstry that might just slide to the nickel position. I don't see them saying, listen, we're going to put Alante inside and this other guy. We'll see how it all goes. But I'm looking at it in terms of Alante Taylor occupying that other spot in McKinstry, because this thing with Marshawn Lattimore, it's going to happen.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, didn't see that coming, and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.